The Fan on Demand. And now, time for your morning guilty pleasure. Here's Jeff Blair.
All right, go on and admit it. You were one of those people who wanted Alex Anthopoulos to do whatever it takes, to add whatever it takes to get a playoff spot. But then you saw Marcus Stroman. Suddenly it wasn't all that simple, was it? Then you saw Aaron Sanchez. Just a snippet of Aaron Sanchez, mind you. And suddenly it isn't all that simple. Drew Hutchison, Marcus Stroman, and Aaron Sanchez. For an organization that has developed one starting pitcher of significance in a decade, that being Roy Halladay, it's a pretty tantalizing thought. For an organization that will probably have the same payroll next season, having three-fifths of your starting rotation earn around $2 million is nothing short of thrilling, even with the risk of regression or, dare we say it, injury. Look, I've been clear from the start. I never entertained thoughts of trading both Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez. I'd still move Sanchez now, but not for a rental like John Lester. I'd focus on a power arm out of the bullpen or add a starter to give me some innings in August. And you know what? I should be able to do that without having to get rid of either Stroman or Sanchez. Now, I wouldn't worry about the 2015 payroll either because, as I wrote last week in Sportsnet.ca, Alex Anthopoulos can very easily keep the core of the roster intact, maybe even re-sign Melky Cabrera and Casey Jansen, and, conservatively, still have about $20 million to play with. So maybe I add a Bartolo Colon after the trade deadline. I can carry the money next year without an issue, or if I need to, I could trade him in the offseason. At any rate, let's take the temperature of the fan base this morning. It's fly-on-the-wall time. And you're in Alex Anthopoulos' room in Boston. Get your mind out of the gutter. And somebody calls inquiring about your young pitchers. Somebody calls inquiring about Stroman and Sanchez. What do you do? Are you less likely to part with the young arms for immediate return than you were a month ago?
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up.
All right, it's got to be special if we play country music or something even remotely resembling country music in this show. We are, of course, approaching the Major League Baseball non-waiver trade deadline. You know what I'm talking about, 4 o'clock tomorrow. Lots of rumors out there. The Toronto Blue Jays figuring in a lot of them. John Lester right now appears to be the guy in the clock. Rob Bradford of WEEI, who pretty much, well, frankly, he's got a pipeline to the GM's office. I guess Rob wouldn't mind me revealing that, tweeted late last night that the Jays and Orioles were not in on John Lester. And I took that to mean that the Jays have probably inquired about him, probably realized that, you know, put yourself in the Red Sox position. You get a call from Alex. You go, yeah, we'll trade John Lester. But you got to give us Aaron Sanchez, Daniel Norris. That's all. Of course, there's a chance we may re-sign him in the offseason. There's a chance that if the Red Sox trade John Lester to an American League East team, he's not going to re-sign there. The Red Sox are saying, yeah, we'll take your two best prospects. And, oh, yeah, we might re-sign Lester in the offseason. So next year, we'll have John Lester, Aaron Sanchez, and Daniel Norris. Yeah, that'd be okay. So I'm not entirely certain that's a scenario you want to see if you're a Blue Jays fan. I think you can do what you have to do to improve this team without sacrificing one of those young arms. Now, having said that, again, I've been very clear about this. If I can get a starting pitcher that'll help me, that'll give me some innings right now, that I will have under control for 2 or 3 years. If I'm basically saying I will trade, I will get a pitcher that I'll be able to control for 3 years, I will sacrifice Aaron Sanchez in order to get a guy who's going to be around this year, help me right away more than Aaron Sanchez is going to help me this year, help me next year and the year after. Yeah, I'd do that if I'm Alex. But I think I can probably address some of the issues around this team without having to get rid of those two pitching prospects. And again, consider this. Consider the economic impact. And this isn't a matter of saying forget this year and look ahead to next year. Consider the economic impact of having that type of cost-effective starting rotation. It's how the St. Louis Cardinals do business. You want to spend money on position players? You got to have cost-effective starting pitching. So we'll deal with that. We'll take your calls. A simple question. Now that we've seen these guys, we've seen Marcus Stroman. We've seen a little bit of Aaron Sanchez. There cannot be a Jays fan out there that would trade Marcus Stroman right now. There just can't be. Pat Tabler is our Blue Jays analyst on Sportsnet. He joins us from Boston after the Jays 4-2 win over the Red Sox, their fourth straight. Mr. Tabler, thanks so much for doing this.
No problem, Jeff. How's it going this morning?
Well, people are getting a little worked up around here, you know? I'm getting a little worked up. It's a trade deadline, and they're playing for something, you know? This is what it's supposed to be like, isn't it?
Yeah. Of course this is how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be talking about that. This is when you take your cards and you put them close to your vest and you just, you know, look around the table and you say, okay, who's blinking? Who am I gonna get after right here? This is when it's all, you know, comes to the head right here.
I don't think
the Blue Jays should do anything right now.
Really?
In the terms of John Lester and you hear the David Price. Can they get somebody like an Ian Kennedy, you know, a veteran pitcher who's been around there where it doesn't cost them their best prospects? Yeah, I'd do that, something like that. But I'm not trading Marcus Stroman. I'm not trading Aaron Sanchez, Daniel Norris. I'm not trading any of those guys. Drew Hutchison, no way. I'll give you an A-ball shortstop and maybe a John Stilson, and you give me a veteran guy. But I'm not touching those guys. Those are the lifeblood of your organization. Those are the guys, you said it, cost-effective players. You worry about all the money and all that kind of stuff. Those guys are minimum guys, major league minimum guys, who are going to be in your lineup for years to come. They're not going anywhere.
Pat, we keep being impressed by Marcus Stroman. I think there was some, I don't know if I'd say concern, but last night going into the game, he was going to be facing the same team he faced five games ago. And I think Greg Zahn made the point before the telecast, and I know you guys talked about it as well. You stick with the thing that worked for you if you're Marcus Stroman, and if they adjust to that, then you adjust off them. And I see so much out of this guy every start. I swear to God, it's like looking at a guy who's 29 or 28 years old and making, you know, just another, he's in his fifth year of major league pitching and he's just making another start. Because it's almost scary how much he seemed to figure this out as fast as he figured it out.
And let's give a little credit to Deanna Navarro, the catcher, who called a great game and he helped Stroman through that one. He never shook him off. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
And did you see the first two batters of the ball game? Talk about people making an adjustment. The Red Sox were looking for that devastating breaking ball. He threw two fastballs right down the middle and got strikeouts. Struck out the first batter of the game. They just sat there and looked at it, whoop, right down the middle. The next guy came up. He was looking for the breaking ball, and they threw him a fastball right down the middle. And the guys had no chance. That's what pitching is all about. You know, they're trying to make the adjustment. They're thinking about his breaking ball, and he throws two fastballs right down the middle and picks up two quick strikeouts against the Boston Red Sox. Hey, this guy can pitch. He's got good stuff. You watch his breaking balls. You watch his demeanor on the mound. He can make adjustments within at-bats. Oh, that one's a ball. It's off the plate. The umpire called a ball. Well, let me bring it back out a little bit closer. Boom, right on the corner. He has been very impressive from the day he moved into the starting rotation and he came back to the major leagues, almost like he's been here 5 or 6 years in the major leagues, like he belongs. And he's a nice young man. He doesn't, you know, he and Sanchez and the young kids kind of hang out together, and they on the rides, the plane rides and the train rides, where we are, they're together. They're talking baseball. They're, you know, they're forming that friendship that you have to have. That's what it's all about. And I think that's what the Blue Jays, you know, understand, that they've got these young kids who are their guys from the farm system, who are building those relationships. That's how you win, you know. You bring these young guys up together as a group, and they all of a sudden they want to start challenging each other. And, oh, okay, you threw, you know, 7 innings and had 8 strikeouts. Well, watch me. I'm going to do this tomorrow, you know, that kind of thing. And it's a friendly competition. I see that from where I sit watching the ball game.
And you know, the thing about Marcus Stroman, we're joined by Pat Tabler, Blue Jays TV analyst. The other thing about Stroman that I think really impresses a lot of people, and Pat, I know you played the game, so you would understand this real well. He does what he does with conviction. By that, I mean there's no second guessing. When he throws a pitch, this is what I'm going to do. He's committed to every pitch he throws. And you know, sometimes you get guys, you can tell as soon as they've thrown the pitch, just by body language, it was, oh, God, I don't know if I really wanted to do that. You don't get that with him.
Confidence. He's confident in what he does. His stuff is good. You know, he's not fazed. He loves the competition. He loves being out there. You can see it. Sanchez is the same way. It's like, give me the ball. Here it is. Let's go. He walked into to Yankee Stadium the other day, and I've seen a lot of players come to Yankee Stadium for the first time, pitchers and everyday players, and they're intimidated by the whole thing. I saw Sanchez run in there the other day in that relief and said, no problem, no big deal, bam, here it is, and got his first major league win. Very impressive, these two young guys. I said to Tony LaCava the other day, I said, hey, if you got any more of these kind of guys down the minor leagues, let's see them here, because these two are pretty good.
Pat Tabler joins us on the Jeff Blair Show, 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Pat, Casey Jansen, I thought, in talking to Barry Davis yesterday, he made pretty clear that the clubhouse, and I'm using that term loosely, but the clubhouse would like a move. The clubhouse would like some sign from Alex Anthopoulos and ownership that, you know, that they're serious about winning this year. If the trade deadline passes and Alex hasn't done anything, or if he does another sort of Danny Valencia move, how do you think the clubhouse will react to that?
I've been in clubhouses like that where they've made trades at the trade deadline, and it just infused some excitement into the team, and it showed that, hey, these guys are serious. Let's take it to the next step. But I also been in clubhouses and you say, don't do that. Don't do something stupid just to make a move, if you know what I mean. Don't give away the future just to say you made a move, because that could have the opposite effect to the ball club. Then you go like, what are you doing? You know, you're giving away our future. So I wouldn't do that. And it's a tricky, you know, proposition. It's a slippery slope. You know, what's the right move? You got to look at the other team, and you got to examine your team, and where's there a fit where this guy, if I got this guy from this team and put him on our team, what would that do for us? The David Cone trade came after the waiver deal years ago. So the waiver thing is just an artificial date that's set right there that, you know, allows teams to trade without having to go through waves, but you can still make deals after tomorrow. And some of the better deals, and you've heard players or general managers say that, you know, they could still make deals after the waiver period. So that wouldn't surprise me if they did something like that. What it would do in the clubhouse, I'll tell you what, Brett Laurie comes back, that's like making a trade and getting somebody like Brett Laurie. If Adam Lind is close, or Edwin Encarnacion, there's three players right there who could infuse some excitement into the clubhouse when they get back.
Pat, it was good of you to do this. Should be a barn burner tonight at Wrigley Field. Let's see how this John Lester stuff transpires. I think we're all keenly interested in it.
It's really interesting, and I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be shocked if the Red Sox trade him. It makes a lot of sense. The New York Yankees lost Robinson Cano last year and got nothing for it. The Red Sox can't let Lester walk without getting something for him.
Tell you what, my gut tells me it's going to be a team like Pittsburgh or a team like Los Angeles in the National League. And I can see Pittsburgh stepping up here big time.
They got the prospects that could put them in there, and they need outfielders, the Red Sox. They got plenty of young outfielders. Seattle, too. Don't forget about Seattle. Could you imagine King Felix, Lester, and Iwakuma in the playoffs?
That'd be pretty good. You might be able to win the odd game with that rotation. Yeah. Thanks, Pat.
Okay, Jeff. Talk to you soon.
Take care. That is Pat Tabler, our Blue Jays TV analyst on Sportsnet. So let's get you caught up to date. No, John Lester has not yet been traded. No, he's not starting tonight. That will be Brandon Workman. Makes sense that the Red Sox would do that, even if a deal isn't done, frankly. There's no point. There's no point if you're even entertaining thoughts of trading John Lester to run him out there. There just isn't. So that gets you caught up to date there. And we will have you covered all day long on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. We have Shai Davidi and Barry Davis with the Jays. We will, of course, have wall-to-wall coverage. You will hear it here first. If Alex Anthopoulos does anything, and again, the trade deadline is tomorrow. Baseball Central at noon with Kevin Barker. Joe Siddle will join us as well. We'll have you covered. Don't worry. And at 11 o'clock, Nick Cafardo, the national baseball writer for the Boston Globe, will join us. He will update us on the John Lester rumors. Again, Rob Bradford of WEEI in Boston reporting last night that according to his sources, and Rob's got pretty good sources, according to his sources, the Jays and Orioles aren't in on John Lester. All I'm hearing from Jays people is that the Jays are monitoring the situation, that they have spoken to the Red Sox. That's probably no great surprise. But I've kind of thought all along that they just won't pay the price to get John Lester. And frankly, if that price is Sanchez and or Stroman, I think we have to reevaluate. We have to reevaluate that. You know, even as Pat Tabler was talking, I'm kind of doing the math in my head. And you know what? It'd be sweet to have Hutchinson, Stroman, and Sanchez in the starting rotation next year. It's a lot of innings for very little money. And even if one of them regresses or one of them gets hurt, that's still really cost effective. And that's what the successful teams do. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. My Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. You can join the conversation on Twitter. Use the hashtag Blair Show. Chris Sayers on Twitter. No chance I give up either Stroman or Sanchez. Maybe Norris or a ghost for starting pitcher, but not Lester. Mando 5000. Sanchez and or Stro Show, only if it's David Price. And then maybe. So you're a fly on the wall in Alex Anthopoulos'. I don't even know if he's with the team in Boston, either in his hotel room in Boston or down at the Rogers Center, wherever Alex is doing his job today. And you're getting calls about Stroman and Sanchez. What's your response? Do you entertain those calls? Do you consider trading one of them? These are the decisions Alex Anthopoulos will have to make at the trade deadline. And I truly believe that for the majority of Jays fans, that decision is not as easy now as it was a month ago. Like, if you're out there and you trade Marcus Stroman, give me a call. I promise I won't jump. I won't jump all over you. I just need to know why you would do it. Because I'm sure there are people out there who would still say, Jeff, if we can get John Lester, get over the hump, to go over the playoff hump, absolutely you trade Marcus Stroman. Keep in mind right now, and Zahn touched on this last night, and it makes a lot of sense. Zahn's point last night was, if the Jays are in first place
and they're 3 or 4 or 5 games up, then maybe you trade John Lester. In second place where they are now, you're a little more conservative. Greg Zahn isn't saying you throw in the towel in the season, but what he's saying is your approach is a little different if you've got a bit of a lead on teams. And I think that's accurate. Russ in New Jersey, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Russ?
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well.
I wouldn't trade Stroman, but if you think about it, the flip side is, you know, it's about winning championships. That's what baseball is, and that's what all sports is. And if you think John Lester can win you a championship, you know, do you give up that guy? You know, even, you know, how many trades have we seen where, you know, the John Smoltz of the world became great players, but the Detroit, you know, got to the World Series because of, you know, making that trade. So I wouldn't give him up, but, you know, we had Roy Halladay on this team for years, who was a great pitcher, and we didn't win anything with it. So if you really think that's what's the missing ingredient, you're going to win, and you better be darn sure, you know, then you got to consider it. Personally, I wouldn't. One thing about Stroman, and it's a little story, but I sat with his dad in Philadelphia early on in the year.
Oh, really? Big Earl.
Yeah, very nice guy, but very impressive. And I went to sit with him in the eighth inning, and, you know, Marcus had come in, and I made a comment like, man, he's buckling the knees. He's throwing strike one, strike two. This guy's going to strike out a lot of people. And he looked at me and said, I'm not into him striking out a lot of people. I'm into getting people out. And, you know, you strike out a lot of people, you throw a lot of pitches.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to figure. And that was, just a smart comment out of a, you know, you just saw right then, just speaking to him for those few minutes, how kind of kid, the way he was brought up. I think you just look at the kid. He's just confident. He goes out there, he gets the ball, and he throws. And I think he had a good upbringing in it from speaking to his dad. And I think this guy can be special. The only question I want to ask is, do the Blue Jays have a limit of innings that they're going to have on him?
That is a very interesting point. Depending on who you talk to, John Gibbons, you're going to get kind of a shrug and, you know, yeah, maybe, depending on how he's going. I'm sure the organization has an innings limit on him. Everything I've been told, though, is that they think they can get Stroman through the end of the year, just going on his regular turn. They're not concerned about it. Hutchison's the guy they're most concerned about, and so in fact is Sanchez, for obvious reasons. I mean, he just hasn't. He's I think he's down now to about 25 innings out of the bullpen. But Stroman, you don't get that sense. There might be, but you know what? I'm sure Alex isn't really being public with it, because that obviously would, you know, hurt his hand in trade talks as well. But I will say this. Everybody I've spoken to in that organization, and I talk to a fair amount of people in text or email, or I see them at the ballpark when I'm down there, they've all said the same thing. The Jays know they need another arm this year. Now, whether that's an arm out of the bullpen, a power arm out of the bullpen, or whether that's a guy who can make some starts for them in August, that's why I threw out the name Bartolo Colon, a guy like that. That's sort of where they're focused. They're not going into this thinking that they are going to be able to ride Drew Hutchison and Marcus Stroman all the way to the postseason and through the postseason. They don't look at it that way. But I think Alex's thought process now is, if Sanchez is helping me a bit out of the bullpen right now, if I trade Aaron Sanchez for another starting pitcher, first of all, I'm displacing somebody in a pretty good rotation right now. And you can say that eventually it's going to be Drew Hutchison. But now I got to find somebody in the bullpen. Maybe that guy comes in right away and he helps me out of the bullpen as well. But ultimately, you're going to have to fill a void there. So it's not as easy as simply saying I'm going to trade two prospects for John Lester and Lester's going to, you know, take me to the postseason. And beyond all that, again, this is an organization that hasn't developed a starting pitcher of significance. We can argue about whether Marcus Sean Marcus Sean
Sean Markham was a starting pitcher of significance. He was okay. He was hurt. He's a decent starting pitcher. He wasn't an all-star. Ricky Romero, we know what happened to Ricky Romero. This organization's been crying for starting pitching. Now you got three guys. Again, we don't know. One of them may get hurt. There may be regression next year. Marcus Stroman may be a little bit worse. We just don't know. You don't know what happens to pitchers in their second year all the time. But given where this organization has been when it comes to starting pitching, given where it is now, I think the equation has changed. I think it's changed dramatically. And I don't think that's a bad thing. There are people out there who are going to go, Jeff, here we go. We're getting carried away with prospects. You know, we're overlooking the short-term goal in favor of the long-term goal. I think you might be able to address both. And that's what I want Alex Anthopoulos to do. Get a pitcher that helps you this year and is around for next year as well. And I would really, really, really be leery of giving the Boston Red Sox all my prospects and finding out that John Lester is going to be back with them next year. See, if I'm the Red Sox, I'm right now thinking, let's trade Lester to a team that we know he won't re-sign with. I mean, if John Lester wants 6 years and $24 million or whatever it is, he ain't getting that from Pittsburgh. Might get it from L.A. I don't know about Baltimore. He might get it from Baltimore. But that's part of the equation for the Red Sox. If you think you got a shot at re-signing John Lester, don't trade him to a team that's going to be able to re-sign him and be your competitor in the offseason. And you got to be aware of that when you're the other GM. I would be very, very, very wary of doing business with the Boston Red Sox if I was Alex Anthopoulos. Because that's a deal that sure could help you in the long term or could really come back to hurt you. I'm sorry, it could help you in the short term, but it could really come back to hurt you in the long term. Steven Newmarket, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yeah, I mean, I liked what Pat Tabler said. And I mean, when you're a team that's had a string of injuries with pitchers for whatever reasons that have been the different causes, and you've got these three young guys that are hardly costing you anything, and it's very looking very bright as far as their futures, I mean, unless you, like you said, you can get a guy that you're going to have for a couple of years, why trade one of these prospects to get for 2 months when you know he's going to go out to the open market when it's his one opportunity in his career and you're going to have so many teams building? Maybe he even gets more than $24 million a year over 5 years.
Well, and this is his shot. This is John Lester's shot at his last big contract, right? He's what? He's 30 years old, 29 years old, 30 years old. This is his shot. He ain't giving you a discount. if he goes to the Blue Jays, he's not going to say, God, I really love Toronto, man. I'll play here for $10 million a year. He's not doing that.
No.
Appreciate the call.
Playing sub,
John Lester is either going to go to the free agent market or he's going to re-sign with Boston. And I understand fans who are saying that they're tired of this team not making the playoffs. And they get tired of hearing it's next year. And there are going to be people on Twitter who are saying, well, there's the guy who works for Rodgers already sort of trying to dampen expectations. I'm not. If anything, I think Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez have raised expectations. I'll tell you what. Let's look at it this way. Do you feel better about where this franchise is now than he did at the end of last year? You have to say yes. Now, what's the reason for that? Same group you had last year. Why do you feel better about this franchise now? Well, it's because of Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez. Scott in Richmond Hill, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How you doing?
Good.
Your producer maybe answered my question, but I was thinking I would never trade Sanchez or Stroman. I think they're pretty much untouchable. But what about Hutchison?
Why would anybody get? Why would a contending team want a guy who is on an innings limit? You might get Drew Hutchison for two starts.
I don't know. The same reason we want to save Stroman and Sanchez future.
So you'd be trading to a team that wasn't going. That's interesting. You'd be making a trade to a team that didn't think it was going to the playoffs this year, but wanted, you know, was looking at Drew Hutchison for next year.
Yeah, maybe add in Rasmus in the deal and get something, you know, that could help us.
Yeah, I don't know if Rasmus would be the guy, but I mean that's a thought. That's a thought. It'd have to be somebody. If I'm the Blue Jays, it would have to be somebody better than Drew Hutchison, right? I wouldn't trade Drew Hutchison for somebody else's Drew Hutchison. You know, guy like Dallas Keuchel or something. I'd think about that. As long as I find myself in the same position next year. See, ideally, if you're the Blue Jays, you'll have these three young guys next year. You have Burley, who's 39. Dickey, who's 40. At the top of your rotation, you'd like to have a guy who's 26, 27. You'd like to have a guy at that stage of his career. Maybe a guy with 4 years major league experience under his belt or 3 years major league experience under his belt. That's why I think for Alex Anthopoulos, this is a little more of a strategic time than we might otherwise think. In other words, this may not be just about I got to get a guy to help me right now. I'll do whatever it takes. Because I think Alex realizes he's in the cusp of a pretty good situation here. You know, the St. Louis Cardinals are the best organization in baseball. They won a World Series by having cost-effective starting pitching. That allowed them to go out and make moves. That allows them to sign good position players to long-term contracts. It really is the foundation upon which everything is built in Major League Baseball. Effective young starting pitching. Cost-effective young starting pitching. That is the gold standard. That is it. You don't have that, you're screwed. And the Jays have that right now. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. We'll continue our discussion. We'll continue to keep you updated. As of now, John Lester still with the Red Sox. This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club, and almost as cool as Chess Club, The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I still don't believe, like, I'm at the point where I am, and Sanchez is here, and I've been pitching well, and the team's playing well. It's an awesome experience. I couldn't be any more ecstatic about it, and I'm just looking forward to keeping it going.
That, of course, last night's winning pitcher, Marcus Stroman. Seriously, you know what? One game playoff, right now, Marcus Stroman's my starter. I know the safe move would be Mark Burley. No chance. I'm taking the stuff. If I have to win a game tonight, right now, one game playoff, absolutely Marcus Stroman's my guy. No second thoughts. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Adam in Newmarket, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Adam?
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. I misspoke, by the way. Mark Burley's 35, not 39. Same bottom line. But anyhow, go ahead.
Yeah, he's throwing 81 anyway. I don't think it's really going to matter.
that's true. Go ahead.
Looking at the window of opportunity for this Jays team, I think the only untouchable is Stroman. And in the right deal, I would even be convinced to trade him. You're looking at Bautista's contract up next year. He'll be 34, I believe. He's a young 34, but still 34. Eddie's not re-signing for 10 a year after next year. So really, you got this year and next year to really go for it, because a core of Lowry and Dickey and Burley is probably not going to get you anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at Sanchez, his innings limit this year, I think, is 125 or something. Next year, probably 150, 160. That's a guy you trade, just because if you can get a David Price or a Lester, you make that deal. And Stroman, I love the kid, but he's 6 feet on a day where he's standing on a phone book. I really don't – the history of guys that size breaking down – bottom line, I think pitchers are really tough to bank on for future. And you talk about the Cardinals. The Cardinals have done this for a very long time. They've stocked up on pitchers for a long time. We just traded all of our prospect pitchers that could sort of...
Well, you traded one of them.
Well, you traded Nicolino, you traded Syndergaard. And
yeah.
You got Sanchez and you got Stroman. after that, I mean, it seems like the Rays and the Cardinals, they stock up on pitchers because for that reason. We haven't done that. We just traded all of them. We just did what they didn't do 2 years ago.
But now you want to trade more of them.
Well, I mean, where do you draw the line? This is our window, right? How our rebuild's going to be bad in 2 years anyway. So
the thing where I draw the line is, David Price. I might do that because I'm going to have David Price next year, but I'm not going to have John Lester next year. And even if I do make the playoffs this year, and let's keep in mind, let's be honest here. My gut sense is we're probably going to be talking about the Jays going for the wild card for that one game playoffs. So you're playing for one game, basically. Yeah. I don't want to go into next year with Mark Burley, R.A. Dickey, and Jay Happ, and, Brandon Morrow, that I have to decide whether or not I want to exercise a $10 million option on, and Drew Hutchison. So I think if you're Alex, I think the thing you want to do is you want to make a deal that helps you this year and also helps you when your window's open next year.
I wouldn't trade Stroman for Lester. I would trade Stroman for Price. I know it's an incremental increase right now, but he's a proven commodity, whereas Stroman, again, the second year, who knows, pitchers lots of times regress in that second year, and that's your window. Your window is this year, next year.
The problem is, though, that you're probably looking at Stroman and Sanchez for Price. You're basically emptying your farm system, and I don't want to do that.
Fair enough.
But I would consider, for David Price, if I have a legitimate shot, I also don't think David Price is going anywhere. But if I have a legitimate shot at David Price, I'm thinking long and hard about it. But David Price, to me, is on a different level than John Lester. And I just keep picturing this. As a Jays fan, you've traded Aaron Sanchez, and it's going to take something else to get John Lester. And actually, and our understanding of the situation is the Red Sox are really fixated in getting position players. And the Jays just don't have any position players in their system that are, that get it done. You put it this way, their second best position player, according to some rankings, is Max Pentecost, a catcher they just drafted this year. So they're not loaded with position players. Dalton Pompey, put 10 scouts in a room. 6 will tell you he's a fourth outfielder. 3 will tell you he's an everyday outfielder. 1 will go, eh. So, I'm not entirely certain the Jays have the prospects to get that deal done anyhow, but put yourself in the position of a Jays fan. Next year, the Red Sox re-sign John Lester, and they've got Aaron Sanchez and maybe Daniel Norris. You have to think about that. If you're the Red Sox, you're like plundering another team in your division. You're setting yourself up for next year. And again, if you're the Red Sox and you want to re-sign John Lester, and the Red Sox have a balancing act to perform here too, because if they want to sign John Lester, it's to their benefit to trade him to a team that isn't going to be able to re-sign him. There's no point. You trade John Lester to the Dodgers, for example, or even St. Louis, you've kissed away your chance of getting him again because he ain't leaving. He'll go on the free agent market, and he's still going to end up staying in St. Louis and L.A. Tony in Brampton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Blair.
Good morning.
I just had two comments, actually, now that you've talked about John Lester. First of all, I just want, because I don't know too much about Danny Valencia, I just want to know, do you think that was a good trade? And my second question is, I don't think Jays fans might realize this, but John Farrell was our manager for a long time. He must have
2 years.
He must have scouted the talent. And he probably wants some of that talent, and then he can turn around and bring him right back.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, John, nobody, there's no, the only organization that knows the Jays minor league system as well as the Red Sox or the New York Mets because of J.P. Ricciardi, which is why I think, personally, I think there's a chance that you may see a deal for Bartolo Colon after the deadline. The Mets can trade him for a player to be named later, and JP knows the farm system. I'm just throwing that out there, something to keep in mind. But yeah, the Jays, John Farrell has a certain amount of intelligence in this organization. There's no question about that. As for Danny Valencia is a bench guy. He's Mark DeRosa. He's not going to help you win a playoff game, but he's not going to hurt you. You saw what he did last night. Put him in a first base, made a nice play on a throw from Jose Reyes. That's Danny Valencia. He's a nice 24th or 25th guy in your roster. And in that case, I mean, that deal, that's a fine deal. Eddie in Fort Erie, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
You know what? I cannot help but think, you know what? After what hearing that the Blue Jays are not in on Lester, I was like, you know what? Maybe we should not make that trade, especially if, you know, if he's going to be a free agent, you know, where we can't really sign him in. I was thinking about the Pirates, and, you know, it was funny. I remember calling you, and I'm sure you remember this, on the morning of the game between the Pirates and the Reds in that one game wild card, and I said, if the Pirates win that game, they won't, you know, go deep against St. Louis or mm-hmm. another playoff run. And I think by getting Lester for them, that will probably help them the second time around, I believe.
Yeah, oh, totally. Listen, I think, hey, first of all, as someone who would, frankly, I'd love to see the Pittsburgh Pirates win the World Series. I really would. Just so many levels, it'd be a great story. I would love John Lester to be there. I was joking in before the show, when we were pairing the show, I said, if I'm Alex Anthopoulos, I'm on the phone to Neil Huntington saying, Neil, what can I give you to help you get John Lester? Is there somebody I can trade you to help you get John Lester? Can we help out some way? Can we turn this into a three-way deal? And yeah, I think that's, again, from the Red Sox point of view, if you want to have a shot of re-signing John Lester, you are going to trade him to a team like Pittsburgh that isn't going to be able to re-sign him.
Yeah, so you find their weakness, and the weakness is for the Pirates, their payroll.
Exactly.
Or Oakland, for that matter, too.
Exactly. If you trade him to the Dodgers, you're not getting John Lester back. And if you do that, then you're essentially saying, we don't care if he comes back or not. Same thing with St. Louis. Guys don't leave St. Louis generally. If you're a baseball player, it is baseball nirvana. Little city, one newspaper town. Fans adore you, unless you're Colby. Cheap to live in. And you're the biggest deal in town. Other than New York, it's the only city in the United States where if you're a baseball player, you are the big deal. Matt and Barry. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good, sir.
I just want to say I agree unbelievably with everything you guys are saying this morning, especially Pat Talbert here. It's finally nice to hear somebody talking some sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the kids. I don't know. I believe in giving them a shot. You know, I really do.
It's got to be, at this stage, Matt, I think if you're Alex Anthopoulos, you can probably make your team better without having to give up one of your prospects. Now, make your team better to the point where everybody's going to go, oh my God, the Blue Jays are favorites to win the World Series? No. But make a deal that gives you another arm in the bullpen or that gives you a veteran arm to pick up some innings in August and September? Hell yeah. Absolutely he can do that. Absolutely he can do that. And I'll tell you, I've only got a minute left before we break. I was thinking about this as I was prattling on and on. Adam Lind's injury factors in here as well. I just got a text from somebody with the Red Sox reminding me of this. A lot of teams, the Red Sox, the Cincinnati Reds in particular, had talked to the Blue Jays at different times this season about Adam Lind. Adam Lind is the type of guy, if you look at the construction of the Jays roster right now, with the players they've added, if Adam Lind was healthy, Adam Lind's a guy you might be able to throw in a trade. Pretty decent club options coming up. Hits the hell out of right-handed pitching. Now, I know what you're saying, Jeff. The Jays, I understand, they need help in that area. But I'm just throwing that out there. That if you were looking for somebody to put in a deal as well as a pitching prospect, a healthy Adam Lind might have been the guy. Just putting that out there as a reminder. Jake Gardner signed a big contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs. 5 years, $20.25 million. Bob McGill of Leafs TV will join us. We'll take your calls on that contract. We'll continue monitoring the baseball trade market. Nothing happening today, as of yet. We'll be joined by Jeff Idelson, president of the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. And then at 11 o'clock, Nick Cafardo, the national baseball writer for the Boston Globe. He'll keep us informed on what's going on with John Lester. You don't want to go anywhere. If it happens in baseball, you'll hear it here first. Trust me. It's the Jeff Blair Show. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.